Talk Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintech studio at Rogers Arena as we get ready for the Canucks and Winnipeg Jets. Here, Canucks closing out a homestand. They've played seven of their last eight at home and trying to close it out strong with a win over the league's best team. Winnipeg can get to 100 points tonight with a win over the Vancouver Canucks.
That's pretty good.
I would say it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I just hope that it's a better night than the last time they played the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, that was ugly. We don't want another ugly, especially on the telethon night, right?
Yes.
This is supposed to be a positive night. And, you know, I know a couple times on the telethon, the game hasn't really gone the way everybody had hoped.
Yep.
So tonight, we're hoping for a good game. Not only for the Canucks on the ice, but let's make this telethon a fun, intriguing night so people stay tuned and invested all evening.
Every year it is a special event, the annual Canucks Telethon night. It is the 35th annual Canucks for Kids Fund Telethon. It's presented by TD. You could win a 2025 Toyota Corolla hatchback. And if you want to get in on the action early, which is always a good idea, never a bad idea, please donate online at Canucks.com/telethon. Be a part of the team. Help the Canucks, help BC kids. So you can get in on it early. It's going to be a big part of tonight's broadcast and obviously a big part of the festivities tonight to try and help families across BC with the Canucks for Kids Fund Telethon. All right, lots to get into. There was a ton of things going on today and a lot on the head coach. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks had their head coach doing a lot of speaking engagements this morning ahead of tonight's matchup with the Winnipeg Jets. He joined Halford and Brough in the morning to talk about the Canucks for Kids telethon. Yeah. And also talk about the season. And he followed that up speaking to the media. Followed it up speaking a little bit to Ian McIntyre. And there's a lot in there that we're going to get to throughout the course of today's show, but we wanted to focus on how he addressed his contract situation with the Canucks, his future with the Canucks. He has, ever since you first asked him the question at training camp in Penticton, his answer has essentially been the same. He's focused on the here and now, not worried about his contract. There is a club option that the Canucks could pick up for next year, but obviously, you know, you want that to still feel like a mutual option. And while the Canucks are pushing for it, Tocchet is still very comfortable not yet negotiating a new deal.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the lack of urgency on his part can be interpreted in a number of different ways, and it has led to some level of skepticism that he will ultimately be back. But I thought he did a pretty good job of clarifying that with IMAC after meeting with the media. So,
which you can find at sportsnet.ca now.
And had some time to let everyone kind of digest his earlier comments and now wanted to clarify some things on where he stood. Because I've said that if I had to lean one way or another, I would lean towards him not coming back based on just, you know, the lack of urgency, so to speak, and the fact the team wants to get something done and something hasn't gotten done. And now you heard Al Veen say that essentially to Pierre LeBrun today, that they want to get something done with the head coach, but they have to wait until, you know, he's comfortable to do it. But he mentioned that he's an all-in guy, and what he meant by that, essentially what he said to Ian McIntyre, was that he has to focus so much on what's going on with this team that he's very comfortable to wait for a more appropriate time, because he doesn't feel like he can justify having any sort of distractions or having any sort of energy spent on his contract when the focus is on the day-to-day to get this team into the postseason.
So just parsing out one of the quotes he had with Ian McIntyre, when it's an appropriate time, we can spend some time and really dive in, you know, where we're going, what we're going to do, and things like that, end quote. So to me, that sounds more like you know, I want to really hone in with Alvin, with Rutherford, that we're on the same page, that we agree on where we're taking this team and how we're going to get there as a group. And for a guy who, and a coach who often preaches, you got to live day to day, you got to focus on the moment, focus one game at a time, and really live in that space rather than thinking about the future, he's choosing to live what he preaches in that sense. That's kind of some of how I read into Rick Tocchet's approach to this.
Yeah, and for sure. And he says at the very end that I really don't want to make it about me right now. That's just the way it is for me mentally. He's just so dialed. I'm so dialed in on making the playoffs, right? Yeah. So he doesn't want to make it about him, which I understand. You can understand the justification for it, and it's not necessarily motivated by a lack of desire to stay in Vancouver. Now, ultimately, we don't know. And until we get to the offseason, and you know, until he
The skeptic's view of it would be like, if you don't have any doubts about wanting to remain the Vancouver Canucks coach, then what's the big deal? Just get the contract done.
Yeah, but for sure, you're right. But if you're talking about not wanting it to be a distraction, and maybe it does underscore a potential tough negotiation monetarily, compensation-wise, I'm not just speculating based on, like, if this could be a bit of a tough negotiation, do you want to do that in season?
Yeah.
Let's say his valuation could be different from the team's, and how do you bridge that gap?
Right.
Especially in season. I don't know. I'm just saying. Yep. Like, I'm wondering, because otherwise, if it's an easy thing, then all it takes is literally 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Say yes, no, and hey, let the agents figure it out. Right? Like,
yeah.
So maybe there needs to be some discussion about, okay, how long do I want to commit? What does a compensation look like? What's the overall plan to beyond this year? What's happening with Quinn potentially? Because I do think the big thing around Tocchet is also Quinn.
Yes.
And it might be mutual to some extent.
Yeah.
Would he do a 2-year extension?
Another 2-year plus an option?
He's kind of there with Quinn.
Yeah.
And then depending on what happens with Quinn, he has an out at the very least.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, right? Because when you don't commit and there's a lack of desire or lack of urgency to get it done now, it leads to some level of speculation. So I just wonder how many factors go in here. But I do think from the organizational standpoint, a big desire to keep talk has to be how much Quinn likes the head coach.
It's it is in the back of everybody's mind. You know, the possibility of a forced rebuild here in Vancouver, and how does that affect the way things move forward. And maybe that is a part of Rick Tocchet's equation in all this, but I have no reason to not take Rick Tocchet at his word. You know, as far as like lying head coaches go, he's not really high on the list of guys that have done that. I've always felt like Tocchet is as honest as he can be with the media, or has tried to be as honest as he can be with the media, maybe sometimes to a fault, with the way that we picked apart his comments from the other night about the power play and how the players aren't taking the coach's instructions on the power play and all of that. So I do want to believe all of that, but, you know, I absolutely want to stay here. I just want to focus on negotiations in the off season. It's a, we got to sit down, dive in, hammer in on what we're going to do, how we're going to get there. Those are kinds of, like, so I don't know. I can't look at what's happened today and say it's a slam dunk that Rick Tocchet is going to be the Vancouver Canucks head coach next year, because there is still an element of, I'm not entirely sure that's what's on the table here for Rick Tocchet.
Well, and the longer it goes until he signs, more things can happen.
Yes.
Right? And maybe a desire increases. Maybe it decreases.
Right.
You never know. It all depends on how things go. But the more time you allow, the more things can happen over that time, right? But organizationally, it's very clear they believe in Rick Tocchet. They want to keep Rick Tocchet. And it's ultimately up to the head coach whether he stays here or not.
He did say, when talking about Elias Pettersson, which we'll parse through more of what he said about Elias Pettersson a little bit later on, but that you know, once the season is over, they'll dive in on, you know, how Pettersson went through the struggles that he did and really start to think about ways to fix it and some of more solutions for Pettersson moving forward. So that hints at, you know, there is an element of how he's continuing to think about building this team around its star players and its most expensive players. There was, you know, there is a lot about, you know, how he coaches the team. And obviously the ongoing criticisms of too much dump and chase and they don't get enough shots on net. They play too defensive hockey. They're living in the Stone Ages with this head coach. And we've heard those criticisms on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Both of us have, you know, sort of, I think we'd both say that they're a little harsh for my liking, certainly I would say. And when he answered it today on Halford and Brough, you know, it does make me wonder as far as like how we're going to move into the future. I don't think Rick Tocchet wants to coach the team the way that he has had to this year. I think he wants it to be more offensive than they have been. That's the way he approached training camp, to open it up a little bit more and create some more rush chances. But they've fallen into this, I think, in large part because of how sideways things went early in the season and how they've had to adjust in order to be able to get enough results to sit in a position they sit in today and still have a chance at this, at least having a place in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
So it's always really difficult to fully evaluate all the coaching decisions in season until you get more context on why those decisions were made. And I think it's easy. It's oversimplistic sometimes just looking at it from what we see on the ice and what you lead, you know, the numbers you see analytically, and then, well, you wonder why a coach makes the decisions that he makes. Or there's a lot of context that goes into those things. But I have asked some people around the league, mm-hmm. and coaches and some former coaches, because I'm trying to get an idea of, okay, like, is how legitimate is criticism here? Like, yeah. How legitimate is it to be like, hey, he mentions the same things, the team's not executing it, right? He said it differently the other night,
yeah,
but it's the same thing. He's been saying, it's like, hey, we present a game plan, they're not executing it.
Yeah.
He didn't use those words, but he essentially said that the other night, mm-hmm. about how they had all these ideas and they walked through it and the players simply didn't do it, right? So I've been asking about that. And
I'd love to have a film session with Tocchet, because rewatching some of those power plays, I'm not sure I saw where the low plays were on, especially the power plays in the third period. So that's where I would, you know, love to sit down with him and really have him
explain
sort of
what he means.
Yeah,
right?
Have the X's and O's of it all.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that would be a bit more, you know, it would give you a better idea of it.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming response I've gotten from these coaches is like, his approach is completely correct. Mm-hmm. And they say, look at the team. Like, if you open it up, so to speak, and he spoke about this, like, this team is not going to survive. And they say, like, the job of a coach is to win hockey games and find, yes. ways to create stability for a team and find a way for you to win hockey games. And when you don't have scoring talent, you have to be good defensively.
Yeah.
If you're not, you're not going to survive.
No.
Like, they're like, it's you can sit here and talk about whatever you want. Like, sure, you can talk analytics and this and that, but if you're not good defensively, you can't score. You don't survive.
Yeah.
So you have to have a good foundation. It's like, it goes without saying. And any coach will do the same thing. Either you put Scott Bowman there, he'd do the same thing. Foundationally, we have to be good defensively. We'll figure out the offense later, because we're just not good enough offensively, right? Now, as far as adding wrinkles to what they do, and that leads us to the whole Pettersson thing,
yeah.
about, you know, they want him to be a north-south player. Mm-hmm. That's something also every single coach wants for about every player. What did Bruce Boudreau want? Quick ups.
Yeah. His solution to the Canucks was more quick ups.
Get north as quick as possible.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Let's spend less time in our own end. Let's just quick up the puck as often as we can. Create a 50-50 battle in the neutral zone, and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, and we'll just go. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point, is just go as quick as you can. Well, that's where PD had success and loved playing for Bruce.
Yeah.
That was about being north-south as much as possible. So yeah. I think that stuff is a bit overblown. The whole notion of reprogramming his brain, what did you make of that?
Well, let's play the clip here for context. Here's Rick Tocchet on Halford and Brough this morning about Elias Pettersson and reprogramming his brain.
Yeah, it's you know, this is a a question at the end of the year that we really got to dive into. Right now, you know, he's a great kid. I think there was a lot of expectations on him. I think he knows that. Was he ready for it over the summer this season? I think he's been a little surprised at what he had to do to maintain a level that we expect of from himself. So is there a little bit of catch up? Yeah, I can be totally honest with you. You know, for him, and I know people joke about it, I say it all the time, and it's just not for him, it's the team. If you want to score goals or if you want to be a dominant player, you got to move your feet. You got to get to those areas. You got to be deceptive. You got to play North hockey. Regroup hockey, taking the puck back, it won't win in the NHL. I mean, I spent, 2 weeks with some of the great coaches of, you know, Cassie and DeBoer and John Cooper, and they promote the same thing, you know, and I think sometimes P likes to regroup it, slow the game down. I'm not sure if how many years ago of doing that might have worked, but now you have to play a more North style, and we're just trying to reprogram his brain when it comes to that. And he's buying into that. That's why I think he's getting better at that. But there's another level for us and our team.
There is head coach Rick Tocchet speaking with Halford and Brough this morning. You can find the full interview available on your favorite podcatcher, Halford and Brough, in the morning. It's a fascinating headline, reprogramming his brain. And I just think it's Tocchet's way of saying, we need to evolve you as a player. You know, yeah, these things have been working for you. Obviously, you've scored 100 points in the league. There's a lot to work with here. But if we can get you to do this, you can be that much more dangerous of a hockey player. That's the way I hear what Rick Tocchet's saying about Elias Pettersson's game and reprogramming him.
Yeah, and I don't think he's wrong necessarily, because he's right, Tocchet, as far as the best teams in the league get up the ice as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Right? The less time you spend in the neutral zone, the better.
Yep.
Like, you're supposed to go through the neutral zone, not spend time in the neutral
yes.
zone, right? Like, that's the whole idea and concept. So that's a pretty universal thing. Now, there's always nuance to all this, and this kind of goes back to what are the Canucks capable of doing? Can you add the types of layers other teams have,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I do think there is value in reloading. I do think there is value in regrouping, creating speed somewhere else, and then hitting somebody with speed and creating a rush opportunity. Like, I think those things are possible.
Yeah.
But do they feel like they have the personnel to execute that?
Yeah, who's generating speed through the neutral zone?
Yeah, and who's doing that?
Filipino?
Yeah, and who's, well, now that he's out, but also even before, like, okay, fair enough with him, right? But with Pettersson, we talk about his wingers. Who are you creating speed in through the neutral zone for?
Great question. Connor Garland, maybe?
Yeah, if he plays alongside of him, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to get Besser going, but that's not the strength of his game,
no.
right? DeBrusk to some extent, perhaps.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, you're talking about guys like O'Connor and Sherwood, but that's not the types you want to play bigger minutes, right? So you wonder, again, do you have the personnel to execute some of those things? I do think it's fair, though. Like, I do think, like Raymond mentions on the text inbox, like, the Canucks are, like, bottom five in every offensive category.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be as poor as Vancouver's been, right?
I do think Pettersson should be more of that player. I mean, we saw it the other night when he drew the penalty, one
yeah.
of the penalties in the third period. What is it? He's got speed through the neutral zone, and he's putting a Utah player in distress and forces him into taking a penalty. That is something, you know, of course MacKinnon and McDavid are way different players and different categories of players, but the way the Oilers regroup is they just let McDavid wind up in his defensive zone, and then he's ripping through the neutral zone at full speed, and who's going to stop him at that point?
Yeah.
But Pettersson, when he gets up to speed, can be pretty quick. We've seen those bursts a little bit more lately. Can you start doing something like that where there's a regroup, but it's not with him having the puck, it's with him waiting to receive the puck at full speed through the neutral zone?
Yeah. I mean, I think all those things are fair. Can you figure out some things to do, right? Ultimately, too, I think when it comes to all this, there's so little practice time.
Yeah.
And especially see what the schedule is like right now. Right. Right. And you've had all these challenges going on this season. I think it's easy for us to sit here and say, like, you know, like we talk about in football, like, install this, add this play, add that play. Like, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's something always to keep in mind. But yeah,
they're in survival mode. You know,
they
like,
are.
You
but
look
I
at the roster right now, and like, why are they playing so defensive right now? It's like, well, look at the roster.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But at the same time, like I said, like they're so inept offensively. Like yeah. It begs, you can't just sit there and say, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
you still have to find ways to score more goals because you're not scoring enough, even as it is.
And for Pettersson, they need to get him up to speed. Now, yeah. How much responsibility does he have? Right? And what can they do organizationally to get him there?
Yeah.
Now, so far, the sense has been it's been on Pettersson more than anybody else.
Well, Tockett did give maybe the most, like, frank or honest answer about Pettersson and how he started the season and didn't feel like he was ready, really, to really take on the added expectation of his new contract and evolve as a player. We've heard Patrick Alvin say it and I guess a little bit more nuanced in the past in different articles. But it's pretty obvious that the organization feels Pettersson wasn't fully ready to hit the ground running this season. And that's part of why he struggled as much as he has. But they're also in this spot seeing that he's breaking out of it. And there's more to his game that they're trying to unlock to get him back to being the franchise center they need him to be.
Yeah, they're absolutely – I mean – the commitment is so massive, and I know the cap is going up, and it may not look as massive in a few years, but nonetheless, it's still the biggest commitment this organization's ever made.
Yeah.
And if this team is going to do anything of any consequence, he has to find that level, and not just be a good player, he has to be a great player. And how do you get him there, right? And until he finds that level with this coach, it's going to persist. Are they capable of getting the most out of Pettersson with this staff, right? Because you're getting the most out of Hughes.
Yep.
And right now, that's the most important thing because that's the guy you have to keep happy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you need the most out of number 40 if you are going to do anything here.
There was also a piece from Pierre LeBrun at The Athletic with Patrick Alvin. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. But he did sort of reiterate that the Canucks are committed to Pettersson for the summer, and obviously moving forward, he was asked about the no-move clause and things of that nature and mentioned how Pettersson really wants to stay in Vancouver, and they're going to continue working with him to get him back to that level. In the Canucks Central Roundup, Canucks signed a goalie today, Aku Koskinvuau, on a two-year entry-level deal, spent 3 years at Harvard, and is a 2021 fifth-round pick. So you can probably imagine you'll see him in some, you know, Young Stars games and things of that nature over the course of the summer, dev camp and all those things, and moving forward as a part of the Canucks organization as he works up the long ladder to the NHL for a netminder.
Yeah, so you got Ty Young, Aku Koskinvuau, Tolopilo, and Shilovs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those guys take up ACHL and AHL pretty much. Plus, you have some other guys in the mix, too. So, there's a lot of competition. We'll see where Shilovs is next year. Can he actually back up?
Yeah.
Well, you have Lankinen signed. Are you signing Demko?
You still have Demko.
But is something going to give here? We'll see ultimately with one of these guys. But Koskinvuau had a couple good years in Harvard. This year was pretty decent. And I think the save percentage numbers aren't incredible, but they're above 900. And you hear some positive things. And the thing I like about him, when we had a chance to talk to him after he was drafted, super confident guy.
Yeah.
I think if he does some media availability coming up here, people will really enjoy his attitude.
Quickly, a couple more things on the Canucks Central Roundup before we hit the break. Demko did skate before morning skate, will travel with the Canucks, but still needs more practice time before he gets into an actual game. Garland is a game-time decision for tonight. Rick Tockett saying he's banged up. He's carrying a couple of different things, so Garland is a game timer tonight. Linus Karlsson was called up on emergency conditions and took the morning skate today. DPD Jr. is getting back in tonight ahead of Victor Mancini, or as coach calls him, Mance, is getting the healthy tonight. Flames are up against the Rangers tonight. St. Louis at Nashville, Utah at the Edmonton Oilers. So that's what you need to watch on the out-of-town scoreboard. And the Flames are actually already down, thanks to Artemi Panarin, his 30th of the season, midway through the first period. All right, coming up, Harmon Dial of The Athletic will join us. His take on everything with the Canucks next on Sportsnet 650.